The war in Ukraine is having an impact far beyond Eastern Europe. Many countries depend heavily on grain from Ukraine and Russia. In fact, 14 African countries get at least half of their wheat from one of these countries. So let's talk about war, food prices, and instability in Africa with Danielle Resnick. She's a fellow at the Brookings Institution here in D.C. Danielle, hi.
Thank you, Scott.
Danielle, in March, the president of the African Development Bank warned that the war in Ukraine could trigger a food crisis in Africa and, quote, destabilize the continent. Do you share his concern?
Yes, I think this crisis in the Ukraine is coming at a particularly pronounced time for the African region. Before the war, by the end of 2021, there was already an almost 40% increase in the price of food compared with the average for the same period for the previous 5 years. So combined with climate shocks, conflict in places like Ethiopia, and of course, the supply chain shortages caused by COVID-19, war in the Ukraine is just exacerbating the impacts on food and economic security in the region.
Are there certain regions of Africa or countries that you worry about in particular? I've read that Somalia and Eritrea rely heavily on imports from Russia and Ukraine, as does Egypt.
Yes, that's correct. In particular, Sudan is heavily dependent on wheat imports. Places like Kenya sources almost $400 million worth of wheat and also maize from Russia and the Ukraine. So particularly kind of East Africa and the Horn is very much affected.
Yeah. So for African countries, including these in the Horn of Africa, do they have any alternatives to Russian and Ukrainian wheat or corn to fill the gap? Or is emergency aid flowing from elsewhere in the world?
Yes, on both counts. Canada, the U.S., Australia are other sources of wheat. There are other sources of grains that could be substituted, such as millet or sorghum, that are more locally grained and less import intensive. But it is important to note that some of these are also rising in cost as well. And of course, international donors are providing humanitarian support in the region. There's also been some additional efforts, such as reducing value-added tax on the imports of certain grains to make them more affordable to consumers.
Mm. Now, we have seen in the past that food prices have been linked to political instability, including in Tunisia during the Arab Spring in 2010. Is there a risk of inflation linking to political instability that you think about?
This is a major concern across the region. We haven't seen too many protests yet around food prices, with the caveat of Sudan, which of course has had ongoing protests since the October 2021 coup. Other places that Africa observers have been concerned about is particularly Kenya. The Russian embassy in Nairobi has been particularly pointing to the effects of sanctions in creating these food price rises in Kenya, so trying to create some culpability on the West. It's particularly pronounced there because the country faces elections in August.
And let me ask you a broader political question. I mean, this war has been highlighting some of the political differences among African nations. The Ukrainian President Zelensky has asked to speak to the African Union, but the AU hasn't been so quick to accept. Is that give us a bit of a picture on the political differences?
Yes. The African Union, or the AU, has really been trying to manage tensions within member countries over time. Initially, the AU leaders, particularly the chair Moussa Faki and the rotating president of the AU, Macky Sall, who's the leader of Senegal, condemned the invasion of Ukraine. But then subsequently, Faki did refuse to allow Zelensky to speak to the AU. Zelensky has just recently asked a second time to speak. Chairman Faki has said that the AU simply wants a peaceful resolution and can't be seen to be taking sides. There, many are claiming a position of non-alignment, but it's very clear that it's more of a strategy of hedging bets and not trying to alienate either Russia and China on the one hand, or the EU and the US on the other hand.
And do some of these countries that have abstained have important trade and economic connections to Russia or historic political ties?
Exactly. In terms of pragmatic, interest-driven reasons, prior to the war, there are several countries with illegitimate political regimes that have really staked their futures on retaining Russian support. Most notably among these are those countries that have welcomed the Russian mercenary group, the Wagner Group, to help deal with civil conflict. These are countries like Mali and the Central African Republic. It's also important to note that prior to the sanctions, almost half of Africa's imports of military equipment come from Russia. And so this has been a particular concern for countries like Angola, Sudan, Ethiopia, Uganda, and Zimbabwe that source a lot of their weapons from Russia to deal with internal threats. And then we can also, you know, point to the fact that a majority of countries in the region have tried over the last decade to diversify their economies, trying to retain the support of various Western donors, but also investors from Russia, China, the Middle East, and elsewhere. And so, you know, very tentative and worried about taking explicit sides in the conflict.
That's Danielle Resnick. She's a fellow at the Brookings Institution. Danielle, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks so much, Scott.